worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to this great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all of this and so, so much more. Father, thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that because we know you and walk with you and are part of your family, we have nothing to fear. That thank you for the truth that you've called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another in the body of Christ. And you've called us to be more than conquerors. So I thank you for the truth that that is who we are. Guide us and empower us more and more to walk and move forward as more than conquerors, and help us to know that continually that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us as well at this time.
God, it's encouraging to know that we as sinners can come before your throne today, and we know it's based on the fact that we're clothed in the righteousness of your Son who is willing to die a terrible death, an awful death on the cross for us. We thank you for that. Thank you for loving us that way. And thank you for the mercy and the grace that you show us day by day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to let you know about a very important upcoming event. The event is entitled Living the Gospel During Difficult Times, and we invite you to join AFA Action for an encouraging event called Living the Gospel During Difficult Times. Its date is October 29th in Sylacauga, Alabama. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Sylacauga, Alabama. Wesley Wyman, Vice President of Outreach for American Family Association, will be the MC and will moderate the town hall. Wesley is the grandson of Dr. Don Wyman and the son of Tim Wyman. The speakers for this event will include our own Abraham Hamilton III. He's the legal counsel for AFA. Walker Wyman, Vice President of Operations. And also Rob Chambers, Vice President of AFA Action. Again, the date is October the 29th, 2020. The time is 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Again, the event is Purcell Farms, Sylacauga, Alabama. For more information and to register, visit afa.net/events. Again, that's afa.net/events. And of course, we're continuing to remind everyone about the fact that October 20th is the day for the premiere of the film, the American Family Studios film, In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. in His image again is a powerful tool, a powerful movie that's been put together, that's been produced by the American Family Studios. And In His Image, Delighting God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality is a critical and urgent message that's designed to equip the church to answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a Bible point of view. In His Image is a feature-length documentary that presents very much needed truth with compassion and clarity and love through powerful personal testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence. Every church in America is filled with hurting people asking some very, very difficult questions that include, can you be gay and be a Christian? What if someone genuinely feels trapped in the wrong body? Did God make me this way? Is change even possible? It's produced by American Family Studios, which is a division of the American Family Association. You can watch In His Image for free. And to watch the premiere of this powerful documentary online, visit inhisimage.movie. Again, the premiere date is October 20th. Again, Tuesday, October 20th, and it will be available. And so go to inhisimage.movie. Hope you'll take the time and opportunity to watch this powerful documentary. Again, thanks for being a part of our listening family. And today, we're looking specifically at the topic, who is on the Lord's side? And as we look into God's Word, we want to be looking at some scriptures that help us to understand how to line up with the will of God as it relates to every area of life, personally and as a family, but also with all that's going on in our world and our culture. It's important that we as believers come to decide how we discern what's right, what's wrong, what honors God and what does not honor God, what glorifies the Lord and what builds His kingdom. Because the fact is, you have people on two different sides of the political spectrum that are both trying to say that we're right and the other side saying we're right. And people in many different areas of life who sometimes they'll say on two, there'll be two different sides, but both sides tries to say they're both right. Well, everything is not right and everybody is not right. How do we determine what's right, what's wrong, what honors God and what doesn't honor God? Well, as we look into God's Word, we want to look at that important issue. And we start, once again, I read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, but I'm going to take the time to read it again because it's a powerful passage that's challenging and encouraging God's people. Now, of course, God is speaking to Joshua, but He's speaking to the Church of Jesus Christ as well, to courageously follow God, to courageously stand on His Word, to courageously put His Word to work in our lives. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 once again. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us as your people to know you, to be able to know your will, and to be able to walk in that will. Father, anoint us all afresh today with a spirit of courage and boldness. Help us to courageously and boldly discern your will and to walk courageously and boldly in obedience to that will. Help us to know, Lord, there's so much work that you call us to that if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to become fearful and timid about. But help us to know, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Empower us to be the bold warriors in your kingdom, that you would have us to be obediently, boldly following you as witnesses for Jesus Christ and as witnesses and ambassadors standing for truth in a culture that is full of darkness and lies and deception. Thank you for the chance to be ambassadors for that truth. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We invite you to look now in the book of Joshua chapter 5, a unique and a powerful story found in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, we're actually reading verse 1, and then we're going to read verses 10 to 15. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, and then reading verses 10 to 15. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Then picking up at verse 10 of Joshua chapter 5. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Again, that was Joshua chapter 5, verses 1, and then verses 10 to 15. Now here, this story towards the end of this chapter is a very powerful and a unique story. It's an instance where the children of Israel, of course, were delivered out of Egypt by the hand of God. God used Moses to lead them out, and they came out of Egypt, and they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness, sadly, because of their unbelief. They were not able to go in right away to conquer the promised land. But here now, 40 years later, now Joshua, who is one of the two spies who did believe and trust God, Joshua and Caleb were those two spies, but Joshua is now the commander of he's the leader of the Israelites at this point in time, and they're about to go into the promised land. And here they are on this side of the Jordan River, and now they're preparing to go to conquer the city of Jericho. But Joshua looks up and sees a unique truth. He looks up and sees a well-armed soldier with his sword drawn and his armor on, and probably is thinking to himself, this looks like a very fierce and formidable warrior. And Joshua walks up to this warrior and asks him an interesting question. He asks him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" But notice how this soldier responds. The soldier, who's actually an angel, basically says to him, "I'm on neither side, but I've come to as the commander of the army of Israel." And basically it's like he's saying, I'm here to take over. So we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, who is on the Lord's side? We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight.
Music of Michael W. Smith, Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking at the topic once again, who is on the Lord's side, and specifically Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 10 through 15. Reading verses 13 through 15 one more time, it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Again, as we mentioned a few moments ago, Joshua is leading the army of the Israelites, preparing to go and conquer Jericho. And he sees a warrior nearby, and he walks over to him and asks him an interesting question. His question is, are you for us or for our adversaries? And of course, it's a powerful question and a unique question in this unique situation. And, you know, often in life, people will, you know, when we're in a situation that may seem to be a competition of sorts or maybe a battle of sorts, and people will say, well, God's on our side or God's on our side. And many times people on totally different sides of an issue or a concern will say, well, God's with us. Well, what is this passage saying to that situation and to people in general? Well, again, Joshua wanted to know, are you on our side or on our adversary's side? This is how the warrior responds. Remember now, of course, the warrior is an angel, and he's specifically commander of the army of the Lord, the army of God's angels, in other words. And his response to the question, are you for us or for our adversaries? Basically, he's letting him know, I'm not on either side. And what we need to understand is that in life, God does not take sides. God lays out his word, and basically God says to us, if you want to honor me and follow me, you need to line up with me. In other words, we all need to get on God's side. So how critical it is that we understand God doesn't take sides in life. God lays out his word. He wants us to know this is the way, this is what's right, this is what honors me. If you want to be on the right side, you need to line up on my side. So God doesn't take sides among men and women. He lets us know what his side is, and if we're wise, we'll get on God's side. How do we do that? Through looking at the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. And remember, God doesn't enter into our quote-unquote competitions and our fights and our battles. God calls us to recognize the will of God. And remember, when it's God's will, God, basically, it's very important to understand, when it's the will of God, the battle becomes God's battle. Because the issue always is, what is God's will? What does his word say? And if we want to be on the right side, we need to find out what God's word says, what his will is, which is his word, and line up with God. And that's how we'll find ourselves on the right side. We look at the battles, the cultural battles and the political battles going on in our culture today. What is needed is people find out, what does God's word say about the situation or the circumstances we're looking at? What is God's will in this situation? What does the word of God say that speaks to the specifics of the battles and the concerns and the issues we're looking at? And once we determine the will of God, then that's how we can find out whether or not God is behind something. Because remember, God's word does not change. The Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word doesn't change. So if you want to know whether or not you're fighting on the right side of an issue, find out what the word of God says, because that's the side where God will be. Because basically God tells all of us he is the right side. And if we're wise, we will line up on his side. So again, as it relates to people, God doesn't take sides. He lays out his word and his will, and he lets us know, if you're wise, you will line up on my side, which is the word and the will of God. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that we have your word. And your word teaches us what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. Help us to know, Lord, that we're not to be caught up in political parties and issues and concerns per se. We're to find out what your will is and align it with your word and your will. And we'll know that we're on the right side of an issue if we know what your word says and we line it with your word. Help us, Lord, as your church and as your people to be discerning enough to be able to do our own research and understanding of issues and concerns, and help us to determine what you want in a given situation and to be committed to lining up with your word and your will. Lord, help us to always avoid situations where we'd find ourselves as though we call ourselves your people, we don't want to find ourselves on the wrong side of an issue or the wrong side of a battle. Help us to be committed to you and your word so much so that we will always line up with your word and your will in every circumstance, in every situation, in every single matter. We thank you for the opportunity to do that. Thank you for the fact that we have your word that helps us to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So in matters of whether it's individual circumstances or cultural situations or political circumstances, find out what God's word says. And decide that you will line up on the side of God's word, and you will find yourself on the right side of an issue 100% of the time. What does the word of God say? That's the side that you and I are to line up with, whatever that may be. In the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments. And here in this chapter, we also find the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 as well, but Exodus chapter 20 is where the first time we find the Ten Commandments as laid out in the Word of God. Well, specifically reading from chapter 20, starting at verse 1, I want you to listen to the wisdom God gives us in the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Again, verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20, all of the Ten Commandments. We're going to take time specifically to pray the Ten Commandments. Father, thank you, Lord, for we who are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for us as a nation, and thank you for the chance we have of being able to serve you and follow you. Help us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Lord, help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, as the church and as the United States of America, help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, as we look at the Ten Commandments, remember the Ten Commandments are the Word of God. They emanate from the mind and the heart of God. They carry the counsel of God, God's will, and it's eternal. God's Word does not change. How important it is that we recognize that we're to be guided by the standard and the counsel of God's Word in all situations, in all circumstances, for all time. And so sadly, again, one of the major issues our culture is looking at is the issue of life. We find that we have people on both sides of this issue. Some people say, well, they believe that it's wrong to take the life of an innocent baby. And other people say that they believe in a woman's right to choose. And they say, well, they believe that a woman has a right to her body. What does the Word of God have to say? Well, actually, it's pretty clear and very simple. God's Word tells us, you shall not murder. So it's wrong to take the life of an innocent baby in the womb, just like it's wrong to take the life of any human being at any other age of development in their life as well. And so as believers, if we want to be on the right side, we have to look at the Word of God. What does God's Word say? God's Word says, you shall not murder. So if believers are going to honor God, they need to line up and believe and stand on that. Yet sadly, you have many people that say they're believers, but they're lining up on the wrong side of this issue. They're saying, well, I'm pro-choice, or I believe in a woman's right to choose. Well, the reality is, sadly, those are people that are lining up against God, against the will of God, against the Word of God. It's important that we understand God's not on both sides of an issue. God wants us to know His will. And remember, it's not a matter of God is taking sides. God has already laid out His Word. Long before there was ever any political party or any platform or any candidates, God had laid down His Word. One of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not murder. So it's wrong to take the life of an innocent human being. And again, as believers, if we want to line up on God's side, it's important that we stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. And it's wrong to support people that say it's okay to kill innocent babies, because that's against the Word and the will of God. How important it is that we recognize that God's Word doesn't change. And sadly, you have people that say they love the Lord, but actually end up placing themselves as working against the Word and the will of God because they think it's okay to kill babies in the womb. It's important that we understand God doesn't talk out of both ends of His mouth. God has already told us, don't murder. God's Word does not change. So how important it is that we recognize we're called to stand for what God's Word says, and God does not change. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for the fact that in your Word you tell us what's right, what's wrong, what honors you, and what does not honor you. Help us to be courageous enough and committed enough to discern your will and decide, I'm going to line up with God's Word and will. Help us to be wise enough to recognize it's always unwise to go in opposition to God's Word and His will. And help us to know, Lord, that those persons that support the tragedy of abortion are working against you, against your Word, and against your will. Help us, Lord. Lord, open people's eyes and hearts to see that in order to honor you in this regard, it's important that they support your Word and stand on your Word, and not support persons who are committed to the tragedy of abortion. Open the eyes of your people more and more to recognize what we're called to do, to stand for what's right, and to support those people that will support life, and to not support people that are against life and that stand against life as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, who is on the Lord's side? And how important it is that we understand, as I've mentioned, God's Word does not change. Let's take time now specifically to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A word of encouragement and challenge to each and every one of us. It's very important for us to pray the Word of God, because remember, the Word of God is the will of God. If you want to know what God's will is, it is about a given matter or issue, look into the Word of God. That's how you find out what's in God's heart, what's in His mind, what's His perspective on an issue. So praying God's Word is very, very important. Let's take a moment now to pray the same, a prayer that Paul also prayed right after he got saved. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be your vessels and your ambassadors in the world. Lord, help us to discern your will today. And Lord, like Paul, we pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And help me this day to do it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, a prayer found in Acts chapter 9. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Who is on the Lord's Side? We'll be right back. Toby Mac, the song, It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue to look at the topic, Who is on the Lord's Side? And we invite you to look with us now in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole arm of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Now keep in mind, this passage deals obviously with putting on the full armor of God, and it's speaking of, and it's referring to the fact that, like it or not, all of us deal with spiritual warfare every day, all day. In fact, we deal with spiritual warfare all day and all night as well. And so it's so important that we as believers realize the need for us to put on the full armor of God every single day. Note too, again, we don't have a choice about dealing with spiritual warfare, because the fact is the enemy and his hosts are working against us every single day. But we don't have to despair, because the Word of God lets us know greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So the passage starts out by explaining what we're up against. Verse 10 again says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In other words, the word wiles is schemes or wicked plans, in other words. Verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." How important it is that we recognize that each one of us, it's our responsibility to take the armor of God and to put it on each and every day. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, the first phrase, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Truth is the word of God and the will of God. One very critically important starting place as it relates to putting on the full armor of God is knowing the truth. And when you know the truth is a weapon in and of itself. That's one more reason why it's so critical that every believer is a student of God's word, one who reads and meditates on God's word, and then makes it his or her goal to diligently and faithfully apply that truth. Truth is always meant to be applied. Well, sadly, again, we see in our world and in our culture that sometimes you have people that say they love the Lord, yet they're failing to look to the Word of God for guidance. And or sometimes they ignore what the Word of God says. Or sometimes they may deliberately decide that they want to set aside what the Word of God says. That's a mistake. Because in order to gird ourselves with the way, verse 14, gird ourselves with on our waist with truth. In order to do that, it's critically important that we understand what we're doing is we're reading the word and embracing it and deciding, I'm going to live this. But when you have someone that says they ignore the word of God, and remember, sometimes we may not say it with our mouth, we say it with our actions. We ignore or discount the word of God. That's always a major mistake, because in order to line up with the will of God in the kingdom of God, we need to discern truth and walk in it. So how important it is that we gird ourselves with truth. In other words, put on truth each and every day, read and meditate on the word, and choose to obey it and to walk in its wisdom. It also speaks of having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Again, as believers, once we're saved, God gives us righteousness. He makes us righteous. So we walk in the righteousness of Christ as believers. It speaks of, in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever we go, we're to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We're to live wherever we go as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, persons who tell others that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of life's problems and challenges and difficulties. And the most important decision in life is the decision to choose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Wherever we go, we're to be faithful ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Verse 16 speaks of, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're to put our faith to work continually. Why? Because the devil will try to approach us with fear all the time. To be fearful that something won't work. To be fearful of becoming ill. To be fearful of all kinds of difficulties and trials. But we're not to live in fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're called to live as believers who are trusting God continually. Throughout the Word of God, Old and New Testament, a critically important message that we hear over and over again is, the just shall live by faith. Faith is trust and confidence in God and in His Word. We're to live continually trusting in God and looking to Him for guidance, for grace, and for strength. The scripture also speaks of how we use the shield of faith. It says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, the devil hurls fiery darts at us, darts of fear, darts of discouragement, darts of doubt, darts that would trip us up. But our goal is to keep the shield of faith up and continually trust God in all circumstances. In fact, it's a wise thing to do throughout the day, especially when fear tries to come upon you, just to speak out loud in whatever setting you're in, or quietly to yourself in the setting you're in, if you need to do it that way, but just say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Why? Because we're to live in a continual state of a confident trust in God, that God's our guide. He's our protector. He's our help. He's our strength. He's our provider. He's our help in all circumstances. Putting that shield to work each and every day is very, very important. It speaks of in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't think I can overemphasize how critically important it is that we as believers recognize that God's Word is many things, but amongst other things, it's a sword. And as believers, we're to become highly skilled swordsmen and swordswomen using the Word of God. We're to read the Word of God. We're to read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Oh, there's at least 7 different ways you can use the Word of God, and actually there are many other ways as well. But it's our sword, it's our chief weapon whereby we use it both offensively and defensively as well. As believers, every day we're wise to pray and ask God to help us to become more skillful in the way we put the sword of the Spirit to work in our lives each and every day. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful weapon of your word, the sword of the Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity for us to use it, Lord, for your glory each and every day. Teach us and empower us, Lord, daily to become more and more skillful swordsmen and women that put your word to work. Teach us to use it in all the ways you'd have us to use it, to be able to, obviously, to both to be able to do offense and defense in our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that the devil does not have in his arsenal enough to stop the powerful word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Again, we're trusting you that literally every day we will become more and more skillful swordsmen and women that are putting your word to work each and every day effectively, faithfully, and taking much ground for your kingdom as we learn to put it and use it skillfully. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Well, of course, one of the very important ways we put the sword of the Spirit to work, as I mentioned, is praying the word of God as well. And an ongoing challenge that we want to continue to challenge you to do is, if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, I would encourage you to start, because Psalm 91, of course, as we've mentioned so many times before, is a powerful tool for divine protection, protection of our health, protection from physical hurt and harm. And Psalm 91 is in each of our Bibles. It's our job to simply put it to use each and every day. We're going to take time to pray Psalm 91 now, okay? Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer or any of the other prayer resources that we provide, we invite you to email us to get it. As we close, there might be somebody listening who's never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come into their life. Well, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me because today is a good day to get saved and commit your heart to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I come before you and I confess, Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, by faith, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you came into this world, that you lived, that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I repent for all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Today, in a brand new way, I open my heart and life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Help me to line up my whole life on your side and to begin to follow you and live for you and to no longer live for myself. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Lord, I am calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us at jparker@afa.net and let us know. We would look forward to being in touch with you and sending you some materials that will help you to grow in your walk with the Lord. Also, if you're just wanting to get more of the prayer tools and resources and discipleship resources, we're glad to send them to you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.